Chapter 38. I no longer have access to the record maintained by that Ancilla. She faded long, long ago, during another battle and another time, taking with her so many details, so much of my transformation and emergence. The problems I face trying to bring back and explain these events are manifold. I was then two beings, confined in one body. How much of this effect was accidental and how much deliberate was far from clear to me. I suspected. I feared. But I could not know. And thus my memories were separated into two compartments, one of which has declined with time and circumstance, and the other of which, the survivor, as it were, is very different from either of my two personalities at that time. Memory without an Ancilla is in large part a reconstruction, a reimagining based on clues locked in chronology and checked against outside sources. But no outside sources remain. So much of Forerunner history. But I get ahead of myself. This is the closest truth I can manage. It will have to suffice. There is no other. What did I actually see? Do I actually remember our close approach to the halo, just as it entered the portal? The small rescue craft plowed and glided and glowed through the Great Ring's inner atmosphere, no doubt resembling a meteor. We were briefly pursued by sentinels, and some shots even grazed our shields, but we were not armed and offered no return fire. They turned their attention elsewhere. I flash on brief moments of breathtaking, awful splendor, sharpened by terror. The rapid approach of the halo's inner landscape, our first close-up glimpse of thin layers of clouds, rivers, mountains, desert, vast stretches of green, then thousands of kilometers of engraved silver blue, naked foundation material interrupted by towering four-pronged power stations, all unadorned by hard light decor. The halo was almost halfway through the portal. Our small craft flew up from its skim of the atmosphere into a welter of debris, sentinels and pursuing fighters jockeying for dominance and the proper tactical positions to break up the installation before it finished its transit. But they were insufficient to accomplish this task. This halo was about to make its escape. Then, the unexpected. While the enormous yet ephemeral band of the halo slowly disappeared into the violet-black maw at the center of the portal, something brilliant white pushed through from the other side. Compared with the halo, it was tiny, but considerable in its own right. A third fortress. Council security was calling in all available might to secure the system. Even before it had emerged halfway, the fortress began to loose clouds of fighters. At this distance, they resembled a puff of pollen from a flower, and fire its weapons in a sequential radiance. The inner curve of the halo, even protected by waves of hard light, could not stand up long to this assault from within its own radius. The fortress's commanders and Ancillas must have known they were dooming themselves as well as the halo. The installation began a spectacular disintegrative sequence. The visible half of the ring bent in opposite directions, then shattered into five great arcs. We passed near the largest of these segments, perhaps 100 kilometers from the inner surface. Released from the rotational integrity of the full ring, the segment moved outward, given an additional outward twist by the asymmetric breakup. One end swept toward us like a great swinging blade. Minutes from contact, our craft kicked itself into a new course, and we crossed the width of the approaching arc with seconds to spare, buffeted by rising plumes of icy cloud. Kilometer-wide swaths of forest waved like flags in a slow wind, shivered off a dust of trees, and broke apart into chunks. In the increasing violence, the surface released a storm of boulders, followed by immense cross-sections of sedimentary layers, and finally, entire mountains still capped with snow. Our doom seemed inevitable. Either we would be struck by the nearest rim wall, or by the great clods and slivers of material spilling over. Or we would be caught up in flying volumes of ocean, now in the shadow of the portal, freezing into spectacular ice sculptures, flying bergs and snow. I sat within the dust moat of our craft, incapable of speech. I had never witnessed anything so utterly awesome, not even the destruction of the Sanshum world. My heart seemed to stop, my thoughts to go gelid. Then I felt the didact's icy discipline dissolve the gluey tendrils of my fear. Our craft was seeking a complex path up and over another section of ring, picking its way through the debris when, through a nearly opaque layer of frozen mist, we spied the great leading dome of the fortress, trailing streamers of detritus like an avalanche of gray dust. The dome had suffered awful damage. The fortress was out of action, and in its last throes, but the chaos of destruction was not yet done with it. A curled, tortured loop of ring at least 500 kilometers long spun from the debris cloud and cut through the fortress like a sword through bread. This impact shoved the great vessel out of our path and in its wake left a narrow void through which our sensors could see the rim of the portal, still glowing, still holding its form. A miracle, I thought. The didact did not accept the existence of miracles, did not accept them, but did not hesitate to take advantage. Our craft seemed at the last to waft like a leaf between mountains and ice and the shattered hulks of spaceships into the pulsing violet of the portal. I felt another kind of impact, another kind of jolt. We were in slipspace, but a slipspace strained and distorted and angry at so much abuse, barely real, barely any kind of continuum whatsoever. How far this jump took us, there was no way of measuring. We all offered sacrifice to the arcane demands of another kind of physics. We completed our unlikely passage, struggling to maintain any semblance of the real. The causal reconciliation was indescribable. I seemed to stretch and fill like a thundercloud with painful jolts of charge. We gave away something ineffable, but still, we survived. Somehow, solidity, a useful thing, returned. On the far side of that journey, looking back at where we had been, we saw nothing. The portal had collapsed. We now drifted across an even greater void, without thrust or control, our power down to almost nothing. I thought I saw a distant speckle of stars. Passing its shadow across those stars was a flower with a great gaping blackness in its center. Huge, unknown, dark. My ancilla had been reduced to a vague gray ghost in the back of my thoughts. With her feeble assistance, I struggled to fully engage our sensors. They faltered, then returned, weak but usable. Strangely, we were surrounded only by a light haze of debris. Most of the remnants of the halo, the dying fortress, and all of the other waste from that distant battle had never completed the passage. The portal had filtered and discarded useless material. I wondered where it all was now. Bits of installation and ships and thousands of crew, neither here nor there. Amazingly, we had been among the pieces allowed to pass. I turned to look at Glory of a Far Dawn. She was badly injured, I could see that. Yet her face shone with something like joy. The raw joy of battle and survival. As our eyes met, she drew back her emotions. "Where are we?" she asked. "How far have we come?" I could not answer. None of the usual niceties of slipspace, if they could ever be called that, applied. None of the metrics were available to our sensors. But we had traveled a very great distance indeed. I could feel that in my bones and nerves.